Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Daryl. And thank you to all of you who have joined us tonight on behalf of America, the country that God knows and loves. Because He loves us, we are free. Free enough to love Him and His country, which we are. And because He loves this country and He loves His church, who are safer here than they are any place else in the world, we are free to love Israel, whom He also loves, and whom He is going to bring to the highest degree of human knowledge to our Lord and Savior that has ever been of a group of people. I love that about Him. He chose my people because He chose them, not because we were perfect, not even because we had the slightest idea how to walk before God. He chose us. Then He taught us who He is, why He, as God Almighty, loves us, and the things that we would need to suffer for the beauty and glory of His name's sake, and for the privilege of becoming His people. We can get things so mixed up, you know. God chooses us for something great, and immediately we think, now, we're special now, so everyone needs to just really love us and not complain about us and forgive us if we do something wrong, which we probably will not do because God loves us. You know how it goes. But God reaches down through eternity and picks up the smallest one, the least one. And then He begins to reveal Himself to and through that one so that we can have this wonderful, wonderful understanding of who He is and what being loved by Him really means. He didn't choose us. He didn't choose us looking at us as being the people that would model the ideal faith in Christ. He knew we wouldn't. He knew we couldn't. But His purpose for choosing us was to show the world He's a forgiving God. That He is a God who loves those who hurt Him. He's a God that goes beyond the pale, you might say, to reach into the life of the one He has chosen and to bring that person out of bondage or people out of bondage and into the sacred knowledge of our living God. It's all for Him. And as we look at Him, then we know how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to forgive, how we're supposed to treat others, whether they treat us well or not. When we see people making a mistake, we learn by our Savior to forgive and to love them in spite of their mistakes. And if we will do what He does, before long we will know the most marvelous story in the whole world. that of a life given over to our Father. So tonight, I just want to spend a few minutes talking to you about this issue. And I want you to take it home. Those of you who have walked with the Lord long enough are going to listen to me and say, yeah, that's the way he is. Yeah, it sure is. But those who have not, maybe because they were always so good before their salvation, may listen and say, whew, well, that's quite a testimony. And I'm glad that person got saved. And that is as far as it may go. But then there are those who are struggling, just like Sylvester Stallone. What an awesome, awesome testimony of that man. I just really had to fight tears to hear it and even think again what Daryl was saying. And the tears want to flow. What a beautiful, remarkable testimony. And it's really not about glorifying Sylvester, although you sure want to pat him on the back for overcoming. But it's a marked indication of what God will go through to pick up one that he has put his hand upon and do great things for him, that the world may see what a covenant loving God he really is. I just love the story. I don't think I'll ever forget it, Daryl. Thank you. He always gives us such beautiful stories, doesn't he? Now, I want to talk to you tonight for a little bit about knowing Jesus. If you'll turn in your Bible to John 17:3, this became one of my favorite scriptures very, very young in my Christian walk. We all have people in our lives that we thought we should be able to trust. And trust them a lot, maybe with everything, such as a child would trust a parent. And when that parent gets things confused in their minds for whatever reason, because we thought it was the proper thing to love and trust that parent, we wanted to do it, and we feel betrayed when the same is not returned, so that we can understand what it means for that reciprocal love. In my case, I think both my parents did the best they knew how to do. And, oh boy, they sure had a tribe on their hands, being parents of me and my siblings. My mother needed to be brought back to Jesus. My father, who was raised a Catholic, needed to be brought to Jesus. And they needed to be brought out of a life of reacting to their flesh rather than the Spirit of God inside. So, yeah, they made a lot of mistakes, but we all do, don't we? Some not as bad as others. But we all make mistakes. Now, the beauty is, as Jesus forgave Israel, he will forgive us. It doesn't matter how badly we mess up our lives, how badly we misunderstand the relationship between God and man. To know that we have failed in our understanding of relationship between our siblings and other people in our life. We just, as children, we keep reacting instead of deciding what our path is going to look like. We just keep reacting the same way over and over again. And we lose the beauty of grace. We lose the beauty of walking things out the way the Lord would have us walk out, so we can have more of him. I look at my life. I love my mother. She's in heaven with the Lord, and she is so happy. I've seen her since she went to be with him. I've never seen her so radiant. She looks absolutely beautiful. And since she is the mainstream through which we have Jewish roots, being in heaven, those features come out the strongest in her face. So she looks lovely. She really looks lovely. Now, my father also had Jewish roots, just not as strong as my mother. He looks so handsome. My brother Kenny is there. Boy, he was a beautiful kid, and he's a handsome man now. The pileup of souls coming into the kingdom who belong to our family is growing, ever growing, praise God. And God is providing for us a place for us to light and spend eternity when it's our time to go to eternity. But what I want my life to say to people on the earth would not be the same thing my brother would like, or my mother, or my father, or my grandparents. What I wanted to say is that our God can pick up a broken piece of pottery and bring glory to his son and to his name before the whole world. He can so transform a broken spirit that it becomes a most lovely and wonderful testimony to the power of having the Holy Spirit within. And for those of you who appreciate the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not all do, and I don't judge you for that, but for those who do, to go on into that second magnificent magnificent impartation of the graciousness of God and our Lord Jesus. You probably feel a lot like I do, because although I had a dramatic Damascus experience, about as dramatic as it can come, my experience in the baptism of the Holy Spirit was even greater. Just phenomenal. And it changed my life forever. I still can't believe that the Lord did that for me. He's so beautiful, he's so great, and there's no one to depict Jesus to my heart greater than he does. You grow up with a hardened heart, and he works so hard to give you a heart soft, pliable, yearning to love the Son and the Father. He's ever there, ever present. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. When it hurts so bad, sometimes you think you're going to break in two. He's just there to strengthen us when we can't strengthen ourselves. When you need to learn and understand God's word, he's there, ready, willing, and able to impart truth to us and make it living truth. Truth that we understand, didn't know how to understand before his journey into our lives. He consoles us. He confirms us. But I guess most of all, he brings us to Jesus more every day. And beyond our Lord, he brings us to the Father. More every day. Even as a child, Ricky was, you know, in her teens, young teens, when she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. I thought she was going to turn Fresno upside down. She was getting all of her friends saved, filled with the Spirit, getting all of them healed when they needed it. They'd pray. She'd pray with them when there were family problems, and God would intervene. Just Jesus, 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 and her friends and her non-friends loved seeing what they saw in her. When I would take her with me to minister in churches, I always brought her up to help me pray for people, even though she was a child. People would come up to me after the service with tears in their eyes and tell me they'd never seen anything like this, a mother and daughter praying for church members. together and seeing God's glory come and answer their prayers. They just would be astounded by it. To me, it was perfectly natural. She was my daughter. Why would I not invite her? But to them, they'd never seen it before. Ricky was a good kid, and I believe the Holy Spirit and more of the Holy Spirit that you receive in baptism is what made her so pliable in his hands. So anyway, that's a long story, and but in reality, it's a short story. I mean, it is a long story, but it's a very short rendition. He has done only good for me. Everything he's promised, he is either in the midst of doing or he's done. He's never failed me on one thing, including I want to know the Father. I want to know the Father as I am known. I want to know Jesus as I am known. There's just nothing like knowing them. They're so wonderful. There is nothing that the devil has tried to do that he succeeds at if it's contradictory to God's will. If we will only stay under the covering of our Lord and his truth, he can, you know, mess with us a little bit, but not much. He's just wonderful, but he's not more wonderful than Jesus or the Father. They're all wonderful, right? So it says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus came that we might know the Father. He came to bear witness to the truth. Oh, how I love truth. And I strive to make truth my life. People might say, you're not supposed to strive. You're not supposed to strive. Well, someone needed to tell Paul that before he strove to make truth the very foundation of his life. There is a striving we have to do, and the wrestling is with our flesh and our nature of sin. And if we sit there and just passively let them throw us one way and then another, we will never get anywhere. We have to rise up. We in our spirit man, who is greater than our flesh, than our soul. Our spirit man is greater than all else because it is now empowered by the greatest of all. And if we remember that and we stand against the sin, not because we have to. Please say that. Not because we have to. But we stand against the sin because the one we love more than all else hates sin. And he hates what sin does to the human soul. And because we love him, we want to be pleasing to him. And more, even more maybe important, we want to know him so that we can hate what he hates and love what he loves. And always have the relationship open to us more and greater than ever before because of his astounding perfections. Eternal life is knowing Christ. It's in knowing the Father. It is in knowing the Spirit who teaches us all about the Father and the Son. He doesn't come in today and leave tomorrow. He's right there with us every day, strengthening us, helping us, teaching us, nurturing us, just whatever we need to grow in our faith. He's there to do it in the Father's name. It doesn't say, and this is what happens en route to eternity, that you will come to know and understand Jesus, whom you will never know on earth like you'll know in heaven. That isn't what it says. Listen to this now. Think about this. Tell me if I'm not telling you the absolute truth. It's telling us that eternal life, or life eternal, the very essence of it, is to know our Lord more perfectly, more intimately, every day, throughout life on this earth. We really don't have to wait for heaven, because heaven is in us. So we can enter into that expression of knowing him, of loving him, of being so much a part of his thoughts, letting us experience what it means to really be raised as a father of love, his children. Who knows how to discipline us when it's needful? How to bless us with more life, life eternal, every day, if we'll prepare ourselves to receive it. I love what God has provided for us, don't you? I think it's so wonderful. Jesus came to glorify the Father. Now, his ministry of pulling our attention upon himself is for no other reason than to pull it to the Father. That's it. He's not there for me, 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 I. See how wonderful I am. See how gracious I am. Yes, I'll go to the cross for you. Aren't I great? He came to help you love the Father, to help you know the Father, to help you live in and for the Father. And then he teaches us how to do it every day, he and the Holy Spirit. I just think they're so wonderful. And what he wants for us is to be free of the strongholds of iniquity, the Lord said, that keep us bound to the dark kingdom. He wants to free us from that, but there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it. He wants to free us from the strongholds of iniquity, that we may walk in the light of his glory. That's you and me. If we've got problems at home with loved ones, any of them, he loves to create perfection out of chaos. Did you know that? That was the very first work that he did. He created perfection out of chaos, and he's been doing it ever since. So you've got a family of chaos. Let him work perfection into that family, through that family, that what he wants to bring forth to the world in your family can actually happen. It's not a job that maybe can happen. Sure, it's a big job. I don't know if I can do it for them, but I'll sure try. He doesn't think that way. He sees what needs to be done, and he thinks, well, I'm a specialty at that. So if I can convince this person just to pray with a happy heart, I can do the rest. And it sure is true. He also not only came to disengage the spirit of iniquity from our souls, to eradicate the spirit of iniquity from our souls, but he came that we might live in the glory of our Father here on earth. Some may say, well, I've been saved for a lot of years and I've never entered into the glory of the Father. Well, then you need a life change. You need a change where you're so hungry for God, you cannot control it. And you want to walk in the light of that glory more than you want to breathe. And you'll do anything for it. To that one, they will have it. Will they make mistakes on the way? Of course. That's why we needed Jesus to pour out his own precious blood to keep us saved, even when we make mistakes. He's provided the whole thing for us. All we have to do is say, I will, I will, I will, I will. And then do submit, 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 submit. And the more we do it, the faster we grow until we find ourselves living in heaven and on earth. And I've taught this for years, absolute years, that it really is possible. And in the last few years, I learned that someone I already know lives there. And if one can live there, anyone can live there. Praise God. Praise God. Good. So we're going to pray for these things, all these other things tonight, and we want to see God's perfection, his illuminating light, bringing His perfection into the midst of these needs. That He will be glorified throughout the earth, and He will be glorified by the prayers coming out of our mouths. Can we do that? I think we can. And with that, I'm going to ask Daryl to come forward and get us moving on our way. Bless you.